2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes edition right here, powered by KSL Sports and kslsports.com. My name's Cleon Wall. It is early Sunday morning. The Utah Jazz, they lose to the Houston Rockets. And in game three of their playoff series, I should put a little note on that. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here on this Jazz Notes podcast. And really, this game, Jeremiah, came down to missed opportunities. The Jazz really should have won this game. The Jazz should have been walking out. How hard they played, how they played. You could even say, we've talked about in the past how the Jazz have played defense. We know that's not the reason that they are down in this series to the Houston Rockets, but it kind of was one of the reasons. The way the Jazz, I think, play defense tonight, they should have won this game. But it really came down to, and here it is, missed shots, missed free throws. You can elaborate on that if you would like.
It's a make-or-miss league.
You had to say it.
We should have, well, it's just a fact, and we should call this a gut punch edition of Jazz Notes, because this was a game that they were in control of, honestly. Defensively, they did everything they needed to do in this game. James Harden had one of his worst performances, missed his first 15 shots, and then he woke up in the end of the fourth quarter just when they needed him. But the Jazz did everything they needed to do defensively in this game, and Donovan Mitchell scored 34 points, and they lost this game because they can't make threes. They're shooting 25% in this series. During the regular season, they were 36% average. And there were obviously nights when they were red hot from three. I thought coming home from Houston, everybody would kind of figure things out. And you get these are open looks. Yeah. And they're at home where they should be comfortable. These shots should be falling, and they didn't. 12 of 41. That's brutal. 29%. They're 25% for the series, but what really hurt them was the free throws. 13 misses at the free throw line. They were 66%. From the free throw line in a playoff game at home. It hurts. And that's the reality of what happened tonight. They have no one to blame but themselves for this. So from the micro, you're looking at this and you're seeing that they missed those opportunities, and now the series is basically lost because no team has ever come back from 3-0.
Jazz changed their lineup a bit tonight. They decided to go a little bit smaller. They put Jay Crowder in at the four, which also meant that George Niang got to play at the four in this game. And in reality, George, he was the sub of the game inside this in the arena. I tweeted out he should be the sub of the game the way he played tonight. Yeah. And if he keeps playing like this, he deserves more playing time. I asked him after the game, did you feel like you missed an opportunity in this game?
You can paint that picture, but I think for us is – right now, you can't look back. The game is over. You know, game three is in the past. We can't think of missed opportunities, like you said. We just got to see what we could do better from this game and do that in game four and try to impose our will, like I said, and go out there and win, especially at home.
So he says, by the way, I love whenever they say that's in the past, I automatically think Frozen and Anna, no, Elsa singing her song, Let It Go. So,
somebody's watched Frozen way too many times in your house.
I had a daughter that really liked
it. Hey, I got two daughters, so I've watched it more than I want to admit.
So anyway, moving on from that, he's basically saying we need to move on, and that's really all you can say. That's all you can say right now is, well, it's time to move on. There's nothing we can do about this game.
You can't
game.
Go back and make the shots that you missed. It's over.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you're in this position, and it's just the reality. And, yeah, this is where they're at, and they've got to fight through it. And I imagine, you know, they're not going to win this series. I don't want to, you know.
How dare you?
Jazz fans right now are listening. It's like, oh, they still have a chance. It's not over till it's over. Yeah, I get all that. And they're going to have that attitude. They're going to take that approach. But the reality is it's never been done in NBA history. It wasn't until recently that a 3-1 deficit. I mean, there's very few times a 3-1 deficit has happened. And it wasn't until recently that it happened in the finals with the Cavs beating the Warriors. So it's just history's not on their side. So I'll say that. But they can still fight, and they can still claw, and they can still scratch. They can still play for pride. All those things. It's just who they are. They're not going to give up, and they're going to try at the very least, to win one for the Jazz fans that come out and support them in Game 4. But the reality is setting in now for these guys, and they know it. They understand it. History is what it is. But I like the fact that he's got the right attitude heading into Game 4.
And Donovan Mitchell kind of talked about that too in post-game. He met with the media, not in the locker room, but with the general media, and he talked about not quitting as they go into Game 4.
I don't think anybody's going to just lay over tomorrow or Monday. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think the organization, I don't think that's what we're based on. You know, yeah, you can say no team's come back from 3-0, but, you know, no team could come back from 3-1, and that happened. You know, so that's where our mindset's at, you know. It's an uphill battle, but... You know, we're not just going to lay over and give them a game. That's not who we are. That's not who any of us are. And like I said, but this morning, you know, we're not afraid. You know, you saw it tonight, and we're going to keep playing.
You know, the one thing about Donovan I think we learned from this past game, too, is he said he was going to come out aggressive, and he came out aggressive. He saw the problem in his game those first two games, and he came out aggressive in this game. He lived up to what he said. Now, he didn't always make the right decisions, but actually that didn't really happen until about the third quarter. He made, I thought, excellent decisions in the first and second quarter, and he made some good decisions in the fourth quarter, too. But when we talk about indelible images from this game, because we've done this before, what was the couple of images that you think the lasting reminder of this game that you think about? I can think of a couple. How hard he started out the game, including an alley-oop dunk, but I also had to have to say, not his missed shot to end the game, that could have basically tied it and possibly sent it into overtime. I think the other image, when I talk about the theme of missed opportunities, it was late in the game when they threw an alley-oop to him and he missed it. And that was it. By the way, if he would have made that, that would have been an incredible dunk.
Yeah.
But it was another missed opportunity, and now he's moving on, and the Jazz are now moving on to Game 4 coming up on Monday.
Yeah, he had his chances. I mean, he was great. 34 points. I mean, Chris Paul was asked after the game what the Rockets did to give him trouble, slow him down. I don't remember the exact phrasing. I think slowing down. And Chris Paul, like, laughed. He's like, are you kidding me? He scored 34 points.
Yeah.
So, yes, did he make every shot he took? No, he did not. So his numbers were 9 of – sorry, I'm looking it up right now.
I think it was 9 of 26.
9 of 27.
Okay, because he missed his last one. That's right.
33%. Now, that's not – where you'd like it to be. It was a little below, and he started out hot.
Five for seven, by the way. He started out 5 for 7 in the first quarter.
Then he went 4 for 20. That's pretty rough. And he had a period where he missed 11 shots. So him and Harden kind of balanced each other out there, but he was willing to take those shots. Now, if you're going to be critical, yeah, you're going to look at those numbers and you're going to say 9 of 27, not good enough, but and that's fair. And I think he would admit that's fair. He didn't make enough shots. He talked about it in the post game as well. But at least the Jazz had somebody that was going to go out there and take those shots tonight. He needed to provide this team more offense, and he did that. He scored 34 points. Yes, he didn't shoot 45-50% from the field. Had he done that, they would have won the game. But at least he was aggressive. At least he took on that mantle or that charge that needed to happen for a player on this team to say, I'm going to go out and get this done. We're going to win this game, and I'm going to make it happen. And he came up short. But I think there's going to be lessons learned from this experience for him, especially that last shot. He makes that shot. We're having a different conversation right now. We're looking ahead. Can they even the series in Game 4? Well, that's not the reality. He missed the shot. But he's 21 years old. This is... You know, he's got a bright future ahead, and this is all going to be part of him getting better and having those experiences, because eventually he's going to make that three-pointer. He's going to have playoff games where he's unbelievable, and he's going to help the Jazz win a lot of playoff series moving forward.
And the funny thing is, Jeremiah, it's not like we haven't seen him hit winning shots before.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of it. Just because he didn't hit it in Game 3 of this playoff series when – He started out hot and ended up not so hot. I think Jazz fans are pretty knowledgeable. I think most NBA fans are pretty knowledgeable that they know he's probably going to make quite a few more game-winning shots in his lifetime. I don't think they have to worry about that. But now we're kind of looking at the macro end of it, and it was interesting. I got in a little late talking to Kyle Korver. We were trying to finish up with someone else there in the locker room. We got over to Kyle. Kyle was making some thoughts about this game, how they missed. Again, it was, missed opportunities, missed free throws. You know, that's just what happened in this game. And so we finished off the interview with Kyle. The media was just about ready to move away, and then Kyle says, hey, can I say one more thing? And, of course, everyone's like, yeah, sure, what do you want to say? And this is what he had to say.
I have never been around a young player like Donovan Mitchell. I have never seen someone so young take ownership of a team, take ownership of his play, do it with charisma, do it with class. I've never seen that in my 16 years in the NBA. And he missed a tough shot tonight, but it's just going to be part of his story. If you've played any meaningful basketball in the NBA, you have a shot like that. If you don't, that means you haven't played in meaningful games, or you haven't been trusted by your coaches or your teammates to take that shot. I don't care who it is in history, everyone has a shot they want back. And this is going to just be part of the story at the end of the day. So I think, because of who he is, he's going to put too much on that shot. We missed free throws. We missed dunks. We missed layups. We missed threes. It was not about that shot. It was not about that shot. We had so many more chances to win that game. But I'm super proud of him. He came out and, he heard that he hadn't, played as well as he wanted to the first couple games. And he put the whole thing on his back, and he tried tonight. And for a young guy, 21 years old, whatever he is, that's really special. He is on a great path in this NBA. And at the end of the day, this is just going to be part of his story, part of his journey. And he's going to keep on building on it.
And I think what Kyle is talking about too, Jeremiah, it's not just about his play on the court. It's his personality. It's who he is. Yeah, Donovan's going to put a lot of pressure on himself, I should say, to be able to go out and do great things here in the future. And I think a lot of Jazz fans expect it. But even if he doesn't, I think Jazz fans are going to love him anyway. Of course, they're going to love him because of what he does on the court, but they love what he does off the court. But I think he's just wired differently than you find a lot of other guys. And I don't know, unless he just does a 180 and starts being this villain, which I don't see. I don't think he's going to do anything wrong in Jazz fans' eyes, but I think because of that, because of his positivity and because he wants to improve so much, I just see an upward trajectory of him. It's just who's going to be along the ride with him. Because if you talk about other players of his same ilk, we just had Ben Simmons, who went off for quite a game against the Brooklyn Nets. Let's just say that was the Brooklyn Nets that he went off against. And again, he has a good supporting cast around him. Yes, Joel Embiid didn't play in that game, but he still had Jimmy Butler, who has been an all-star. He has plenty of other good players who are right around him. So it's just different. It's so hard to try and carry a team when you're a 21 or 22-year-old, and that's what they have kind of tasked Donovan to do. It's almost like they don't want to do it because they don't want to put, meaning the Jazz, they don't want to put too much pressure on him. But it's also like you have the personality that you can do it. Secondly, you have the talent that you can do it. And thirdly, the players believe in him too. You just heard Kyle Korver talk about this. The players believe in him. So I see an upward trajectory to him. I just wonder who's going to be along the ride with him, and I think that's what you want to discuss after this long soundbite by Kyle Korver.
Yeah, Kyle Korver's 38 years old. He's played 16 years in the league. He's played in the NBA Finals. He's played with some of the great players in the game. He's played against some of the great players that we've seen in the game, LeBron James obviously being one of them. And for him to say something like that and to go out of his way to make sure everyone heard him say that, that says a lot about Donovan Mitchell. And one word that when you were talking there about Donovan that came to my mind was leadership. 21 years old, and he has, as Kyle says, the charisma and the character and the determination and all the other words like that you can use to describe, that allows him at that age on a team like this with veterans on it to be a leader, to be that guy that just takes over and tries to lead your team to victory, says a lot about the 21-year-old. Donovan Mitchell is going to be spectacular. He's going to do so many great things in this league, and Kyle can see it. And so I'm telling you, James Harden and Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade and all these other guys that have put their arm around him can see it. Everyone can see it. It hasn't happened yet. And tonight's one of those nights where it didn't quite happen the way that he'd want it to, the way that Jazz fans would want it to, and it hurts that the realization is you're not going to win this series. And you had a chance to kind of flip the series and compete and make it a long series, and it didn't happen. But if you get past that and the pain and the gut punch that was tonight, you can start to see the macro in all of this. And this is, like Kyle says, this is going to be part of this journey of Donovan Mitchell in a Utah Jazz uniform, part of the learning process, gaining all these experiences. It's tough to go through that sometimes, but look at every great player in the NBA. Now, there are some exceptions where some of these greats landed in the right position and they were able to take advantage of that and be surrounded with the right players, and maybe their trajectory was faster to a title than maybe others. But for the most part, all the great players in the NBA, all the teams that have won championships and the great players on those championship teams had to go through a process to get there. It didn't happen overnight. And for Donovan Mitchell at age 21 to already be in his third playoff series and have the experiences that he's had is going to just help this franchise get closer and closer to that goal. And you look at the lessons he's learned and the lessons that the Jazz have learned. It's tough because, you know, I was telling you this earlier before we started that, look, the Jazz could probably beat, you know, the Spurs or the Nuggets or the Blazers in a first-round playoff series. And it would have been fun, and it goes seven games or something like that. And, all you know, a lot of memories come from that. But this series and what the Jazz are going through right now will be far more valuable to this franchise and to a player like Donovan Mitchell than it would have been to play a series against one of those teams. The Rockets are a legitimate championship contender. They have an MVP on their roster. They have one of the great point guards we've seen, and you can say one of the greats of all time in Chris Paul. He's competing against these greats, and he's taking his medicine, and he's taking his lumps. The Jazz are taking their medicine. They're taking their lumps. But they're taking it right now. And so it's going to help them accelerate the process of figuring out what they need to do to get where they want to go. Playing the Rockets this early is going to help them do that, and it's going to make Donovan Mitchell a better player in the long run.
I have a lot of friends on Twitter, I'll call them friends, who relitigate whether it's the trade deadline or last offseason and bringing this team back. Now, they did trade for Kyle Korver, okay? And basically saying, we all knew that the Jazz needed more firepower. Guess what? They still need more firepower when it comes to offense, and we all understand that. I'm not going to say I'm not a shill for the company, meaning the Utah Jazz.
No.
But here's what I will say in kind of defense of why they decided to bring this whole team back. There were injuries last year. I think in their defense they thought, you know what? Let's bring it back one more time. Let's just see where we are to make sure we know where we are. And then we can see what's happening. Because, of course, this offseason that's coming up, this was supposed to be the big offseason in which there are a ton of free agents. Now, are the Jazz expected to get any of the big ones? No, they're not. But on the other hand, they're going to have a lot of money. I know a lot of other teams are going to have a lot of money, too. But I think this was the offseason that they were looking for. So when guys started going other places and when things didn't quite work out for trades, if you want to believe all the trade rumors out there, I don't think there was really any harm in bringing this team back one more time to see what you had and see what you could get from player development. And I think you've seen some guys improve from season to season. The problem that you see the Jazz have right now is what most of the NBA has right now, and that is this is a superstar league. The Jazz have at least one star offensively, and we're talking about Donovan Mitchell. They have another star defensively who also can be a good star on offense too. You got two guys right there The Jazz really need someone else who can be another star on offense, who can help this team out. Again, going back to the firepower. I think that the Jazz wanted to see what they had. They now definitively, after this series, Jeremiah, I agree with you. They definitively know, okay, we now know what we have. Let's see what we can do in the offseason. And I could sit here and I could project in the offseason. We'll have plenty of time to do this when the offseason actually starts. But I could sit there and say, well, the Jazz need to do this, this, and this. But there are going to be a lot of teams, if it just comes to free agency, there will be a lot of teams that are going to be vying for big-time free agents, middle-of-the-road free agents. The Jazz are just one of those teams. How much are they going to be willing to pony up? Because, again, they're going to have to pay Rudy, and they're going to have to pay Donovan here in the near future, too. Quite a bit of money. I know Rudy already has a good contract, but his contract's going to expire. Donovan's going to come off of his rookie deal. They've got to be judicious with their money and what they're doing. But the Jazz really do need another star. Before we started the podcast, we talked about different guys who won. When did they win their NBA championship? And Donovan just brought this up not too long ago. He said, well, Dwayne Wade won in his third year, and he was kind of talking about this year, like, well, why can't we think about ourselves winning a championship right now?
Which is the right mentality.
No, absolutely. And it is. It is. We here, I'm not trying to be negative Nelly, we kind of bring it back to the center, and what we have to say is, well, that's great. You know what? Dwayne Wade did win his third season, but he had Shaq on his team. And he had a bunch of other veterans who were there to help him out who were battle-tested and who were able to be able to take the Miami Heat. And by the way, that was kind of fantastic too, because I think if I have this right, I'm trying to remember. I thought Miami won four in a row in that to win that.
They did.
Yeah.
So Dallas won the first two. Dallas was the overwhelming favorite to win that series. And Miami won four straight to win that NBA championship, that NBA finals. But then there was this big gap after that where Dwayne Wade didn't win titles until LeBron decides to come to Miami.
Which is nice.
Well, yeah, very convenient, right?
And then they go to four straight finals in a row.
Right, and only won two.
Yeah, even with LeBron on your team.
You're a super team, and you went 2-for-2, and you went 2-of-4 in the finals. Think about that. It's not easy to win an NBA championship. There's so many great players. There's great organizations out there that do the right things. It's hard. And it's tough as a Jazz fan to be patient, but that's what's going to be required. Donovan's going to have to be patient. Everyone involved is going to have to be patient. Dennis Lindsay's famous for saying this, but he's right. You can't skip steps. And Game 3 was another reminder that you can't skip steps. And what happened in Game 3 is part of that process. It's going to be a part of that process for Donovan. It's going to make this organization better because now they have a better idea of what needs to happen moving forward to take this team to the next step. And I'm telling you, this series allowed them to do that faster than any other series would have done.
Let me ask you just two quick questions before we end this podcast, because I'm sure you want to go home. And
I
wouldn't mind going
home. Let's take callers.
You just
it's a podcast.
You talked about two things. Or I'm sorry, one thing, but I want to break it up into two,
okay.
And that is taking the next step. So what's the next step for Donovan, you think, and what's the next step for this organization so that they can build around the potential star that Donovan is? Because he is really the star of this team, and I'm not just talking about his play on the court. I'm talking about he's like a reflection of this team. Everyone loves Donovan, and Donovan seems to love everyone. What is the next step for Donovan? What's the next step the Jazz need to take? And I'm not talking about even a next step to say, well, they need to just go out there and they're going to be a championship team next year. I'm just talking about what's the next thing you think that both the Jazz and Donovan need to do.
So Donovan Mitchell is not an all-star yet. Donovan Mitchell is not first, second, or third team All-NBA yet. So he's amazing. He's been incredible, but he needs to take the next step in being one of those guys. He did not play consistently enough this year to be placed in that category. Can he do that next year? From the start of the season to the end of the season, can he be that consistent star player? Can he be an all-star next year? Can he be all-NBA? Once he is, the Jazz go from 50 wins to 55 to 60, just based on his own improvement and his own play as a star player in this league. And then those around him become better. And they add that piece you were talking about earlier. Is it one guy? Is it multiple guys? I don't know. Dennis is going to have to answer that question. But for Donovan Mitchell, that's the next step, is to put yourself in that category. And it's going to require more work. He's not going to have 2 months in the beginning of next season to try to figure that out again. He's been through that process. Again, part of the process, right? Not skipping steps. He had to adjust this year to being a marked man. And it took him a while, and he finally accomplished that. So how does he come out to start next season? Is he more consistent next season? There's all these things he can do to get better. That's going to be part of his process. For the Jazz, they're going to have to finally beat the Rockets. They're going to have to finally beat the Warriors in a playoff series. If you're trying to get to the next step, you're trying to get closer to a title, you're trying to prove you're an elite team, you're trying to prove you're a contender, you got to go beat a contender. And they haven't done that yet. They won two playoff series in the last 2 years. Is Oklahoma City a contender? No. Was the Clippers a contender 2 years ago? No. But eventually they did run into those contenders, and they got beat 4-0, 4-1, and maybe 4-0 or 4-1 again. So that tells you you're not there yet. So they've got to go head-to-head, push those teams to 7, or beat one of them. That's the next step for the organization. How quickly can they get there? That will depend on Donovan Mitchell's progression, Rudy Gobert's progression, because Rudy still has, I don't think Rudy's hit his ceiling yet. And it also depends on who Dennis Lindsay is able to put in this roster to surround Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert with to help them reach that next level.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about that on the Jazz Notes podcast.
A lot of time. All summer long.
Yeah, in the post, or in the after the postseason, I should say. Real quickly before we go, I want to play this soundbite from Derek Favors. And this was actually in response again to Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, I think that what Kyle Korver said tonight, I think, was probably, and you'd mentioned this too, was probably one of the most important things, because in reality, we can talk about missed opportunities, we can talk about a lot of things, but really going forward, Donovan Mitchell is the key to this team. And so Derek Favors was asked about Donovan Mitchell, and he talked about Donovan missing that shot.
I think he put too much pressure on himself tonight to try to prove everybody wrong, because, you know, we all hear what people say about us. So, but no, he played a great game, and I hope he don't take it too hard, you know, missing that last shot, but no, he's a great player.
I don't know if he'll take it too hard, Jeremiah, about missing that last shot, but here's one thing that I will say. I think Donovan, he is the nicest guy. He is a team player. He wants to please everyone, and I think that that's a good thing. But I think the next thing he almost needs to do is he needs to pull a Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers, and I'm not talking about just one shot. I'm talking about he needs to tell Coach Snyder, and he needs to tell Dennis Lindsay, I can make it. And here's what I mean by that. He needs to tell them, I can be the guy. It's great that we have guys who are good ball handlers and everything like that. I can be the guy. Put the ball in my hands. I'm not saying that they need to run a James Harden offense for him, because I think that that would be a mistake. That's not his type of game. But basically, he needs to go forward and say, let me be the guy. I'm going to put all the work in this offseason. As far as we know, he's not injured, unlike last season when he had some injuries and he got put back. He was a little behind and not rehabbing, but, you know, kind of working on his game in the offseason. He's not at that point. Maybe he needs to go forward and say, this is my team. What can you do to, and not, this sounds bad, but what can you do to help me? It's kind of like that Jerry Maguire thing. You know, what did he say?
Show me the money?
Not show me the money.
Oh, another line.
Okay, I can't think of what it is. Maybe I've got the wrong movie here, Jeremiah. I'm an idiot.
That's all right.
Oh, well, anyway, it's kind of like the help you help me type of thing.
Okay.
You know, put trust in me to take over this team. You've already done so much. Now just trust me to take over this team. Help me out to see where I can become the best of me, but I need some help too. And maybe that's being a little demanding. But and maybe the Jazz organization already realize it too. But he is going to be hard on himself. But that could be a good thing. That could end up being a good thing that he's hard on himself, because he knows he's got greatness ahead of him. He knows what type of a player he can be, and I think the Jazz know what type of a player he can be too. Any last thoughts before we end the Jazz Notes podcast?
That's not demanding. That's just the reality. Donovan needs more help. The Jazz need more help. They have a lot of work to do, and that's what this series has taught them, and I'll say it again. That's going to be the benefit of this season. That's going to be the story of this season. If you just look at this as the Jazz didn't win a playoff series and you're disappointed about that, that's fine. But And I get that. I understand the disappointment, and this season's going to feel like a disappointment because of the way it ended. But there's going to be monumental gain from the experience in this series for Donovan Mitchell, for Rudy Gobert, for the Utah Jazz franchise, and you're going to see that 5-10 years down the road. It's going to take some patience to see it, but that is what the Jazz, I think, are going to learn and take from all this, is they have to give Donovan Mitchell more help. And that's now the challenge for Dennis Lindsay, is to go out and figure out who is that help going to be and how are we going to acquire them.
You know, you mentioned this is a make or miss league, which I kind of cringed at because we
it's
hear that.
It's just a fact.
We hear that a lot. I'll give you another fact here, and that is this is a star-driven league. We saw that in game.
That is also a fact.
We saw it in game three. James Harden is a star. He struggles, but he comes up with just enough plays to win. But the fact that they have another big-time offensive star on this team and other small guys that complement them so well and have actually been a lot better on defense than we thought that they would, that's why they are 3-0 in this series, because they have the stars and they have the complementary players and they're playing the right way at the right time.
They're just ahead of schedule where the Jazz are at, so it's going to take some time. And where the Rockets are now, the Jazz could be in 5 years. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast post-Game 3. We're going to have more podcasts coming up, especially after Game 4, but also one before Game 4. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening to us either on the KSL News Radio app, whether you're tuning in to Apple Podcasts, or maybe you're listening on KSLSports.com. There's a lot of good content there. Make sure you check out KSLSports.com for all the good content that was there, especially stuff from Jeremiah. He did a great podcast after, what was it, between Game 1 and Game 2. He had Eric Woodyard on. Lots of good stuff there. There's tons of stuff, not only Utah Jazz, but plenty of other sports stuff there on KSLSports.com. Thanks for listening to us. We'll talk to you soon.